Nothing happens until you sell something. Be Uber at sales, absolute don'ts, and absolute do's. I am Stephen J. Manning. Please listen in on some of my thoughts on how to be an Uber salesperson. All of that is built on a bedrock concept. Nothing happens until you sell something. That is my take on something Henry Ford said a lot of decades ago. Allow me a couple minutes to be my reputed raconteur self. With a purpose, I promise. Children all over the world dream of becoming firefighters, astronauts, teachers, doctors, tennis pros. I was destined to be, humbly, a top world-class pro. There are a number of top 100 in the world tennis pros of my generation who will, some gladly, some begrudgingly, attest to that. As for most of us, you know the famous Robert Burns admonition. The best laid plans of mice and men. Actually, my favorite, certainly if there were a sectarian version of it, would be, you make plans and God laughs. Now, Woody Allen, an equally righteous and false prophet, took credit for that. I don't think so. Actually, I recall my Uncle Alex saying that when I was a little kid. Hey, Woody, you owe my family some royalties. In plain language, whatever plans you make, to 100% certainty, life, circumstances, and maturity will interfere. Now, again, being the raconteur I am, I need to share the following. My worst and best job ever was in my mid-teens. I had to supplement money I made hustling showbiz people on tennis courts in Los Angeles. I was cleaning rat cages at the research labs at the biggest hospital in the city. Worst job for obvious reasons. Best for a number of propitiously good ones. First, it paid 24 cents an hour more than anything else I could get. That was cool for a recent penniless refugee in the U.S. Also, it was really good for weight control. It is hard to eat when keeping anything down is a challenge. And, last but not least, taught me all about the concept of honest work. As also in a previous talk, my pillars of success, it focused me ultimately on one of my pillars. In matters of work, say yes when most will say no. Not that many people wanted that awful job, yet I had to sell and sell and sell myself to the management at the labs. Good God, I lied and embellished and lied some more about my age, my education. Although I did skip nearly 2 years of high school, I asserted having graduated. So there, a Manningism. Nothing happens until you sell something. That means anything. Because whether you focus on this or not, you are selling something to somebody, including yourself, all day and most nights. How about convincing yourself to get up and out of bed most mornings? You are selling. And you're doing so with specific needs and goals. And what are you, do you have to, sell? I hope you all read my upcoming book titled The Business of Life. I devote a chapter to much about what I have sold, titled You Can and Sell Horse Manure. Really. Much about the many things and other stuff I sold. Some of the stuff I sold makes me think of that great lyric made famous by great R&B group Ray Goodman and Brown. Even more famous years later by the Bee Gees. How can love so right be so wrong? Well, it seems I turned that upside down some to, I suppose, how can love so wrong turn out to be so right? Fundamentally, that is all about selling, not the stuff, about the all-important process. More later. I will not regale you in this talk with all the, well, not entirely ordinary stuff I sold. Suffice it to say, from Russian spy satellites to brain food to Toyotas and much in between. You have to read my upcoming book to learn how we became, well, among other things, the horse manure kings of South America. Now, that is how you generate billions of dollars worth of commerce. You sell, pitch, market, trade, compel, and more. I related the above to you for two reasons. One of those entirely relevant to the topic. More coming. The other to entertain while still by and large on the topic. You see, I theorize that most listeners to my talks are bored out of their undergarments reading and listening to all that unoriginal pablum served up by so many prolific purveyors of board salads. That would not be me. Now to the meat of this talk. The absolute first bedrock structure to selling is homework. Those of you who read my writing and watch and listen to me talk know that you will be beaten senseless about doing homework, no matter if it is business and certainty in all matters of living. Yes, back to my pillars of success. Yes, again, please give that talk a listen. If you listen to me, best you do, sorry, I could not help myself, you will do exhaustive homework before attempting to sell anything to anyone. If you listen to me, you will become a shameless researcher before attempting to sell anything to anyone. Now, let us start with what I hope you no longer think is a platitude. Everybody is selling something to somebody all the time. Everything we do in life is intended to provoke a desired outcome. Now, imagine the quintessential salesperson, briefcase in hand, knocking on doors, and pitching his or her stuff over and over and over, rain and shine. The literal door-to-door salesman. Now, do not interpret the gender specificity here than anything other than it is easier to write. Have you been there, done that? If you have not, we have a disconnect, period. I have major successful clients and relationship who I may do that, sell door to door. How best to know the impact of your pitch? In my marketing life in a mass marketing world, around the world, I always perceive selling and design the pitch as a one-to-one message delivered many millions of times. Actually aggregating the direct mail pieces, broadcast messaging, and all manner of digital messages, including email and display, there's hundreds of billions just some years alone. The messaging is absolutely the same message as walking the streets with briefcase in hand, peddling to single store owners. Conceptually, there's no difference between that one-on-one event and what we all do today, taking advantage of all the new, improved, we think, and massive marketing vehicles. Those that we all use to peddle into, all services and merchandise verticals. Now, I preach that entirely. It must be, still, one-to-one dedicated pitch. To be clear, one prospect at the time, perhaps millions of times. Again, is how you get to sell many billions of dollars of consumer goods and services. I have. Perhaps to establish some more creds for me, sorry to appear conceited about this. Regrettably, I have too often been solicited by would-be clients on the basis of their silly perception that I can sell ice to the Eskimo in the dead of winter. Right. Likely they got that from friends. More likely from non-friends. I can't sell ice like that. Well, perhaps holiday-specific colored ice. Now, perhaps the most important concept in relation to selling. Allow me this and visualize this. You know what the most dangerous thing is about a car? Is it hundreds of horses hurling thousands of mindless pounds of metal in your direction at some speed? The possibility of failing brakes or steering or tires? Doing all that in rain, snow, or fog? Bad roads? A deer crossing in its path? None of that, of course. It is the nut behind the wheel. If you want to sell or pitch or whatever you are doing to cause a desired outcome and do that well, as I humbly assert I know a little bit about, best understand a lot about the nut behind the wheel. Study him or her or them, should you have the displeasure to pitch a committee. dispensing with all the gender-specific balderdash, understand what he is driving, why, how, and his destination. Get focused on his basic needs, wants, and fears, and his need to belong somewhere. Then address those. You will not be able to satisfy them, but address them you must. Talk to your prospect about him or her. Never at him, and seldom about yourself. And, oh yes, best you know what you are pitching. Your prospect does not care much about you. In fact, touting a benefit to him while a benefit to yourself, including your product, even more so you, is a downer. Not to say to ever apologize for the great things making sale could be, and doing that with him and for his benefit, and a tad for yours. Rather not carry on about my specific creds, suffice it to say, once you sold stuff to post-Cold War Russian generals, corrupt heads of state, once you convinced surgeon to give a shot at major surgery on a friend without any likelihood of success, once you convinced the most storied freight carrier in history to land a 727 to pick up your freight, well, you get it. Now, nuts and bolts. Who needs to sell anything in the era of you are two taps away on your keyboard from acquiring anything? Somebody once told me about spent uranium fuel from Chechnya. You get it. Wrong. Wrong and wrong. If you want to be successful, and that requires you compelling other to pay for your services, products, or wisdom. Some listeners of this recall the, well, not the good old days, but the much easier good old days, when you and I, because of some genuine competency, would decide to make something really good or provide a service. Really good stuff. Let's say we made the best and most ergonomically awesome chair. So, here's our chair. Now you all come and buy it. And many did. That is reminiscent of one of the most spectacular business failures ever in the U.S., the railroads. You see, those were ones among the biggest real estate owners in the U.S., and they also had railroad cars. Regrettably, they did not think of themselves as being in the transportation business. Rather, they were in the real estate business. Now, how do I know this? Well, clearly, had they thought so, they would own the airlines. Rather than be perennially bankrupt, often surviving on account of governmental largesse. To further illustrate the point that I know is coming, there's what I call the Kevin Costner model. If you build it, they will come. That's from his movie, A Field of Dreams. No, no, and no. They seldom, if ever, come. Not unless you sell them on it. Now, back to who needs to sell anything in the area of you are two taps away from getting anything? Well, you do. Having to sell is darn near existential. The big thing is to know how to do that. Go to college and learn to sell. Really? Okay, well, this is not begging for my thesis on the woefully inadequate state of education in the U.S., particularly tenured-infected college university level education. I have been there, done that, lectured at some, as well as in Europe. There was a time when so-called French intellectuals were valued. Specifically, people learned and knew some about a lot of things. Not much depth on anything. Very interesting dinner guests and genuine pseudo-intellectuals. What we have created in the U.S. specifically, as far as this topic, it's kind of like pea soup. You know it is at boil, because, well, it appears to be because of the infrequent little bubbling on the top. To be clear, it may be awesome pea soup, but that's all it is. Hardly a meal. The vertiginously degrading upper education paradigm in the U.S. has and continues to turn out the best at what I term ought.edu. The arcane disciplines references in this question, such as doctors, engineers, lawyers, are all pea soup. by and large, entirely boring on any topic other than their professed competency. To be fair, all those old professionals do have affinity in the finance world, specifically in investing their money. Of course, we now have all manner of college and university study courses that range from incomprehensible to insipid to infuriating to groundwork for social upheaval. Those graduates might find jobs with major businesses who are entirely abandoning meritocracy for the benefit of political correctness. Otherwise, retail clerical is in their future. Now stop that. Nothing disparaging about retail clerical. Trust that some years are really earned for one of those fine jobs. Oh, as to political correctness, that is a cancer of the intellect that has done more to harm the fabric of society than any despot could have had. So, why teach any fundamentals, like selling? Damn be the talking heads who confuse advertising and marketing with sales. Such an archaic idea. Teach people how to sell. Regrettably, so much of the selling.edu you will learn on your own. Now, there's no substitute for wisdom on the firing line, in the trenches. How true. But do you want to be on the firing line or in the trenches without the proper tools? No, lest you want to remain entombed there. Now, I pushed an online startup client to become the second biggest industry leader in their vertical. At the start, the CEO and I walked all of Manhattan for a couple of days, from end to end, every storefront that made any sense at all, and tried to sell them our Uber tech thing. Really painful. And then we wrote the book on how to do that and all other sophisticated media. Raised a bunch of money. And then he exited with a cargo ship full of money while he devalued my options to launch money. Pretty much all who have talked with me about selling and marketing asked for a real concern. How to be great at selling without being salesy? As if being salesy is an entirely bad thing. Many of us assert to be immune to sales pitches, to be sold. Nonsense. Many of us are simply immune to bad pitches, even angered. I really feel for most telemarketers who call me. I'm upset with people who stick them with a stunningly bad script. I talk to, too many callers, hoping to impart 3 minutes of how they might pitch the next guy like me. Really. Hey, that caller is just a woman or a guy working very hard to make a living in a very frequently thankless environment. If you are a relevant business with a robust telemarketing effort, glad to chat. You would be among some successful ones. When you pitch, being judicially pushy is necessary. A vanilla pitch does not even get you lost in the noise. Let's be clear. When you are pitching or selling, you are pushing your wares. That is not a big surprise for the prospects. 100% of prospects understand that a woman or guy pitching is working their butts off making a living. They do have a clear recognition of that, if not some empathy as well. Trust that many prospects, even senior corporate executives, consider that for the grace of God or biological happenstance, they would be pitching you for lunch money. I certainly don't. I know and remember very clearly working for my lunch money. One good-sized business of personal faux pas, perhaps would have to do that again. Also understand that prospects are conditioned and prefer to say no. So much easier and less perceived liabilities than yes. So push away. However, please make note of this in big red block letters. The moment you make me feel that you know what is better for me than I do, you are toast. I'm told by prolific talking heads that there are 7 stages of the sales cycle: prospecting, preparation, approach, presentation, handling objections, closing, and follow-up. Ah, Now, this would not be an expert talk if I did not dispense with some important do's and don'ts. Here you go. First, again, the bedrock of selling is preparation. Again, please read My Pillars of Success. It is another talk you can grab from BookBoom. One of my pillars is homework, homework, exhaustive homework. Then do more homework. Become a shameless researcher. Without preparation, what you have is Swiss cheese without the cheese. There's much that goes into proper preparation to sell or pitch anything. Without a doubt, I prefer there are two things that are important beyond anything else. I posit these to you in the form of questions. No need to take notes. I'm 100% certain that you will retain these, particularly that I'm also certain that you already know them, perhaps not entirely focused on them. Yet, thus I must hammer these home. One, do you know your product and service intimately? How intimately? So that you have answers to 95% of the likely questions you would be asked. Be able to address 95% of the issues your prospect might raise. Only 95%, you say? Yes. First, you cannot anticipate what some uber brainiac may ask, nor something an arrogant ass of a client might. More in a minute. Number two, do you know your desired audience? Number three, do you know your desired audience? Number four, do you know your desired audience? Number five, you get it. Let me be clear. Please visualize this. A spectacular offer of goods or services with an excellent presentation, positions exceptionally well in the marketplace, priced advantageously, pitched to the wrong audience, will be a miserable failure. Conversely, an okay offer, average presentation, barely adequate position in the marketplace, reasonably priced, pitched to the right audience, can be a resounding success. About presentation. Again, this is number one. Do you know everything or as much as possible about your prospect? If not, do not bother selling there. Number two, do you know everything as much as possible about your prospect's business, his product, services, his competitors? Everybody wants to hear about what their competitors are doing and having success with. You be the one to enlighten your prospect. Your presentation, work on it. When you have that really sharp, test pitch the people who like you and some who really don't like you. Your mother-in-law is a wonderful editor. Have them do their best to eviscerate your best pitch. Ask them to raise all the objections they can think of, including the dog ate the checkbook. Trust that they will be sufficiently critical, so I'm really happy, to hold you and your pitch to the fire. Then hone your pitch some more. You know, when I was selling media, humbly, more than most, less than very few, really, I spent 75% of the time talking to my prospect client about them, 20% about their competition, 5% reluctantly about us. Thus, somehow, I made my product essential to my prospect. Everybody's preoccupied by overcoming objections, closing, and follow-up. Now, those aspects of selling are what most people fear and sweat the most. Yet those are the easiest components of the process. Couple things. Know that it is hard to overcome objections and stuff entirely out of your control. It is so when you're selling apples to a buyer of oranges. It's a big ouch when you find out that while you are really prepared and pitching your heart out, the prospect lets you know that you're not only praying in the wrong pew, in fact, the wrong house of worship. Right, know your prospect. The Manning solution? Reach into the well-stocked bag of tricks that you have and offer suggestions on where and or from whom that prospect may buy oranges. That makes you relevant. And remember this Manningism, there's always a tomorrow. Closing, how do you close? Here's some obvious stuff that so many just do not consider. And when hit in the face with it, do not know what to do. As soon as you walk in a room, or whatever interface, you must figure out if you're talking to the decision maker or some jerk who loves to hear himself talk and feels taller, better looking, putting a salesperson through hell. If you do not, well, you just got taken. If so, time for a cold drink, a scalding hot shower, change of clothes, and go pitch another prospect. Forget that jerk. Just a matter of time before he does that to the wrong person. Better you be around for round two. His replacement, the new prospect, may feel some obligation to right some of his predecessor's wrongs. Now, that is an absolute fact. Now, some more on overcoming objections. How frustrating when the prospect has an endless string of objections, from relevant to insipid, and you run out of wisdom beyond what you can do for your children. Because I said so. I do not advise that. However, always have more benefits to offer in reserve. Never ever a desperate price concession that devalues your product, your service, and you. Remember a Manningism. It is the process, not the end, that satisfies your prospect. Offering just a price concession is as clear as a pimple on your forehead that you are playing a game. Arriving to clear benefit for your prospect, reframing the paradigm for him, with you doing more for him, is the winner. Now, sometimes, for reasons none other than bolstering the relevance of your prospect, not you, real or perceived, show up with muscle. Your boss's boss's boss works best. He or she can offer stuff you cannot, and as a matter of strategy, should not. Up to the senior in the room to allow the company to genuflect to the client. Ah, Ms. or Mr. Client, you must be that important to us. And then, no matter, get to. Life is too short for this. Figure out how to say that once you have overcome all reasonable objections. Reasonable. It's important to know the wisdom of Kenny Rogers, a superstar country singer from the U.S. You've got to know when to hold them, you got to know when to fold them. No one to walk away, and no one to run. However, know when to walk away with door wide open behind you. There is always a tomorrow. Shocking how often that prospect comes back to you once you walk. And now, a tough one on rejection. That is a big deal for everybody, except for some folks who should be institutionalized. Dealing with rejection at any level by anybody is difficult. For everybody with a heart and a soul, again, absent untreatable mental disorders. Heck, many cower when somebody on the road flips them off for a bad lane change. Rejection is gut-wrenching. Particularly when the person rejected draws a relationship between being rejected and paying rent. That is debilitating. It's entirely defeating. Now, when you are in that position, remember something you've all read. You can smell fear. So can your prospect. On the other hand, the most arrogant jerk with a checkbook likes the association of success, particularly when he feels empowered to make you successful. On closing, the most successful salesman I ever dealt with never had a briefcase. Borrowed a pen and paper to take my order. He never asked for it. He never had a purchase order. Was eager to get business concluded, take us out to lunch. In his really expensive car, befitting his $5,000 Brioni suits. We spend millions with him every year. He was just a print salesman. Oh, he always underpromised just with his behavior as much of with what he said, and always over-delivered. Just when you think that is secret sauce stuff, well, the second most successful salesperson I ever dealt with a nice lady. She darn near apologized for asking for business every time. I got her number after a year or two or three. The humility, and then the remarkable yet modest body language. I once thought to express my appreciation for the subtleness of that. She demurely thanked me, offered that it took her years to perfect it, and asked me for more business. Oh, she always promised little and always over-delivered. You see, both honed their pitches to as good as they were capable to deliver, using their very personalities and competencies. As can you. Here it comes again. Do your homework. How much homework? Not enough. Now, on follow-up, you had my limited wisdom on being pushy a few minutes ago. So many times in my business life, I made proposals and evaluated proposals by others to us, many that seemed well-positioned, yet just did not gel. The natural inclination to push harder, right until you ride the horse off a cliff, or to give up. One of my business friends of decades, Michael, now a partner in our mobile applications business, pitched me every 6 months on becoming my media data processing and manipulation provider. We were among the biggest buyers of those services in the U.S. For 20 years he pitched, likely pitched me 40 times. Well, my provider for all those years was happily captive to us. Michael's pitch was always the same, simple. You know what we can do. You know how good we are at that. You know we are competitive. Anytime you want to or need to make a change, just make a 2-minute call. You will be the priority of my entire organization and me. For various reasons, none having to do with Michael or his company, that did not come to pass. We certainly got pitched by everybody in his industry who had sufficient horsepower to handle our business. Michael was the first person I called when looking for a resource I needed for the mobile business, which, along with a chunk of change, he readily made available and became a partner, no less. So how do you follow up? Well, your would-be client will tell you. Either volunteer it or can derive from that lunch banter stuff or put your seatbelt on if you ask. Then you have to find out that one sentence or two to get over to. You don't have to follow up. We will let you know if and when we are ready or interested. Right. You've been blown off before. However, you figure out what to say to that. That gives you the green light to follow up and with what to follow up and when. Inundating a prospect with all your good stuff yields you an increasingly unattentive, inundated prospect. Figure out the punchline info to share with eagerness to go to the moon and back to present it. By any means you think your proposal will appreciate or be absolutely amused by, however, sometimes really annoyed by. Yep, I know how motivating negative attention can be. There are 100 very creative ways to get to somebody. Skywriting and a guy with a gorilla suit with the balloons are so been there and done that already. Not so with a farmer with a cow inside the lobby of the magnificent big building in New York. Okay, now that encroaches in my secret sauce zone. Finally, I would be remiss to not admonish that there's no such thing as a slam dunk in sales. Even pitches and prospects that are obvious naturals, even those that are, how the hell can they say no to this? Well, so much easier and safer to say no. Your job is to compel your prospect to say yes. Always remember the nutcase behind the wheel. Thank you for listening. Please know that I offer all this with my best wishes to you for your success in life and business. Again, I'm Stephen J. Manning. You can read about my writing at stephenjmanning.com, stevenjmann.com, as well as various published columns and essays posted there and elsewhere. You can parse information about my agency work at fymc.com, frankyankeemarycharlie.com. Please give a look at our clients tab of the fine enterprises in my portfolio clients. There are a number of Fortune 50 companies, including a Fortune 5 client, who are not listed. They prefer to not make public the names of their principal advisors. Feel free to reach out by email to me, sjmanning@fymc.com. Make my pillars of success yours.